Culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy birthday to my baby brother Bill, who I'm sure is not listening to the show. Most of my family is probably you guys run into. They think I'm crazy. They just don't say it publicly, and they don't say it to me. So I know Billy's not watching the show, but Billy, if you are, happy birthday to you out there. I don't know how many, what would you be, 60? I think he's maybe 61 years old today. Happy birthday, Bill. And, boy, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I say that all the time. I know I do, but a lot of stuff really going on. It's amazing. It rained all day here yesterday at Sky High, where the Luciferian events going on all weekend. I told somebody I ought to get my tractor out and turn it into a tow truck because they're probably going to need it in these muddy fields all around us. So, oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, zinc. I forgot to say this, and I think it was Kevin. Somebody else made me aware of this. Hey, folks, on your protocol to stay healthy, zinc is essential. Zinc is essential. And if I can explain it to you just in a real simple term, zinc would be like a little mud puddle. It's a little mud puddle that gets on the cell that the ivermectin falls into and gets stuck to. Or like a little piece of bubble gum or something like that it sticks to. So if you don't have enough zinc in your body, there's nothing for the ivermectin to attach itself to. So it's important for you to make sure that you're taking some zinc. And you can get that at any drugstore at all. And it makes sure that it keeps you healthy. I want to acknowledge before I get too far, our brother Jeffrey Nell. No nice way to say it. Lost his son yesterday, and he'd been missing for Jeff. If you want to talk about, I can talk about it. But I just want to acknowledge your loss, brother, and how people can help you. You can tell us as much as you want to tell us about Jeff, or as little as you want to tell us about it.
Oh, my 40-year-old son is a combat veteran. He's been in Afghanistan, Iraq, and had serious PTSD. And he used explosives for therapy. He went out in the desert about 5 miles from the home, and on Sunday, he disappeared. We didn't hear from him for about 3 days until we got a friend of his went out to where he did his stunt. And found him dead. So the sheriff's department came out and did the investigation. Myself and his mother, we went out to the site. We couldn't get on the scene. The friends were out there and stuff this way. It's really, really sad. It's just a day wore on. And they did a search warrant. And they looked at a house and his trailer that he lived in. And that's pretty much it. Just dealing with the anxiety. It's just a real shocker. He was out there for basically 3.5 days.
Jeff, you said he was employed and was able to go to work and was a good worker and all that right. Kind of stuff. But he's just dealing with those demons of post-traumatic stress disorder. Those of us who've never been in war, which is me raising my hand, We can't imagine the horrors of what that would be like, what you see, the things that go on. And, I woke up last night. I was awakened about 2 o'clock last night. Another one of those times I just had a lot going through my mind and I couldn't go to sleep. And those of you who sometimes have suffered with insomnia, that would ought to give us just a little bit of an idea of what PTSD would be like. You wake up in the middle of the night and those thoughts will not go away. No matter what they do not go away. So you learn to deal with them and probably deal with them a little bit better when you're awake because you can keep yourself off. Am I explaining it okay, Jeff? I mean, is that sort of like what it is? And you just can't get away from what you've seen and what you've heard and what you've been a part of. And it's traumatic. That's why they call it traumatic, post-trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. Anything else to say, Jeff?
He says, Dad, you ever see a goat blow up? They put explosives inside of animals and let it roam and how to kill the troops. He was on a mound. He was in Afghanistan, and he's working on a runway. He says, Dad, we were taking a break on a dirt mound. A sniper bullet missed me, and it killed his cohort.
So he's sitting there taking a break, and a sniper's bullet goes by his head and kills the buddy sitting beside him.
Yeah. Just, and many more.
We can't imagine, can we, folks? We can't imagine. Hey, Dale, I know you're always in here. How about, would you pray for Brother Jeff here, Dale, this morning?
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry. I didn't quite hear the question.
Would you pray for Brother Jeff, loss of his son here this morning?
Absolutely. Father, I do lift up Jeff. And Father, Lord, things that we do not understand, things that we cannot conceive, tragedy that come upon us suddenly. But we know that you are a good God. You sit high in the thrones of heaven. And Father, it says that a sparrow does not fall from the sky, that you are not aware of it. You've numbered the hairs on our head. Father, how much more you are concerned and care for Jeff, his wife, and the family. And I do pray, God, that you just gird them up and strengthen them through this. And Father, allow them to be pillars of salt and light to those in the family, extended family, who are not saved. Father, to be able to give hope to the hopeless and healing to a broken heart, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you wish we knew what death really was? I mean, we have the Bible to tell us, and we have a promise. It says in Ecclesiastes 7 that more glorious in the eyes of the Lord is the day of your death than the day of your birth. And we sit back and we cling to this earthly realm, and all of us know that at the end of this is death. What is that? What does that word even mean? How do you even describe what that would be? And those of us who claim Christ as our Savior and believe that the death is nothing more than a promotion into the next world, wow, it's really overwhelming. Think about Pastor Bill Dunphy losing his grandson, the tragedy of losing his grandson, and the miracle of my grandson making it. A lot of questions. If we're Christians and we can't admit that there are a lot of questions to be asked, we're lying to ourselves. It's that faith that carries us through in times like this. That, as I said the other day, the atheist's great argument is God is either not all powerful or he's not all good. Because if he has the ability to prevent tragedies and doesn't, he wouldn't be a very good God. Same thing I would say to you as a human being, a human being. If you had the ability, all the power and all the ability to rescue someone and didn't do it, then you're not a very good person. But see, that's where we get into the realm of the supernatural. We don't understand. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart, the things that God has in store for those that love him, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, it's explaining something beyond what we can see. We all like to act like we know what it is, but we don't know what it is. Betty just buried her brother. There's death all around us. What does that even mean? And we fight so hard to avoid death. What if death under the arms of Jesus Christ is really, really glorious? Well, I've often used this illustration. No death wish here, okay? But I've often used this illustration. Now I can even use it even more. My grandson Declan, inside my daughter, and he's in there, and you know the doctor. His belly isn't operating properly, and so you know it's causing some issues for his mother. And we're all on the outside, and he's in the inside, and he's in there doing whatever you do inside the mother's womb. And he's probably as content to lay in there as ever could. Probably just as happy as could be, you know. He's got all the food he ever needs and he's comfortable in there. And then, boom, something violent happens. And what? That that safe place he's in, boom, it opens up and boom, he's out and there's lights and wow. And that little baby pops out and they look around, whoa, what is going on, right? What if death's that same way? What if death is passing into a new, unbelievable realm that we could never, ever have conceived? An actual place where there are angels, where there really is a place called heaven. But see, we trip ourselves up too, and I don't say this to make anybody feel good or feel bad. I'm sorry, but not everyone goes to heaven. Well, let me rearrange that, because of the funerals, we all know that everybody's in heaven when you go to a funeral, right? We know that. And the truth is, everybody goes to heaven, but not everybody stays. So it appears to me in this Christian belief that we have, there's a good place that you go and there's a bad place that you go. And it's all dependent upon not whether you were a good person or behaved or treated people nicely, although that stuff all kind of matters, I think, at some point, but not as far as your salvation is concerned. But the reality is that all of us are going to pass through that birth canal of death, if you will. And where are we going to pop out and where are we going to be? The Apostle Paul told us this. He said, if we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. Think about that. Paul said, if this is it, God, we are a miserable people. Well, I believe in the afterlife. I believe in that our eyes have not seen and our ears have not seen. Our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, neither is entered into our heart the thing that God has in store for those who love him. I love the Lord and he loves me. And I believe that I'm going to enter into an unbelievable, I don't want to die, but I don't fear death. I fear, like that song goes, who was it saying? It doesn't matter. It's not death. It's not death that scares him. It's the thought of being dead. It's the thought of just being dead, just dead, laying in a box, worms eating you. But that's what our faith's all about, isn't it? It's really what it's all about. And I don't know if there's anything more misunderstood in the world than life, death, heaven, and hell. People say, like Stephanie. Stephanie had a near-death experience. She was run, as a young girl, she was run over by a wagon, and she died. Or she went someplace. Now, she could tell us the story, and I've heard it several times to her. She said, oh, you know, beautiful music there, the most brilliant of colors there, yada, yada, oh, yeah. And, you know, we sit back and say, yeah, right, yeah, come on, right. Because why? We have nothing to really to compare it to. And Stephanie said, having died like that and coming back in, she back into her body, she doesn't even less fears death. But folks, what if the near death process we hear about, and those people die, and they go to see Jesus? How do we know they stay there? How do we know that they're not just passing by heaven in that heavenly realm, passing by heaven towards another destination? How do we know? And so I think there are a lot of people who've been, I've been there. I've heard the place. I've been there. Well, good. Are you staying there? Huh? Were you just on the highway? There's a highway to hell and there's a stairway to heaven, right? How do you know which one you were on? And that's the mystery of it, isn't it? Where do we go when we die? Not afraid to die. If you knew you were going to go to what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, that it's a greater in the eyes of the Lord is the day of your death and the day of your birth. If we really, really, really thought we were going to go to some place and walk on streets of gold and many mansions and the most beautiful place, then we wouldn't fear death, do we? But we do, because there's still that unknown that's there. It's just unknown. So the bottom line is this, according to what the Christian faith teaches, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And your eternity will be determined by your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you received Christ as your Savior? It's not about the religion. It's not about making the signs of the cross. It's not about eating the wafer. It's not about celebrating the Sabbath. It's not about not eating shrimp. It's not about any of that stuff. Remember what I talked about last week? That man on the cross said I could come in. And that's the most important thing of all. Have you accepted that man on the cross? And does that man on the cross know who you are? And the truth is, if you haven't, then according to what the Bible teaches, you ain't gone. Oh, you may fly by on the way by. You may be in that spiritual realm and it's all nice and beautiful and you feel good. Oh, I want to stay here. You don't know what destination you were having. Stephanie, I would say this. I don't know. God loves Stephanie. I think if Stephanie got run over by a tractor at age, what was it, young girl, 12 or 13, something like that, Stephanie, and you were apart from Christ, I'm sorry. You may have flew by heaven, but I'm not so sure you're going to stay there. So, it's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. If I said to all of you right now, hey, come on, jump in. We're going to go to the amusement park. Well, you'd all get in line because you know what's at the amusement park. But I said, hey, let's all jump in line because we're going to get martyred today. Some of you wouldn't want to get on that bus, would you? Because we still have that. We just don't know. We just don't know. Paul said, if your faith is in this world only, you're a miserable son of a gun. So I'm not miserable today because I got faith in something greater. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know whether it's flying by and see what's going on over there or not, but according to Jesus, people in hell can see heaven because the rich man saw the beggar that was sitting at his door over in heaven, and he wanted to make some changes, but it was too late for him.
Right? Yes, sir. Crazy, isn't it? Jerry, come on in.
Hey, Coach. God bless you, and sorry to hear for your loss, Jeff. I don't know who this is for because this is hard for me to speak of. I died when I was 15, and I was a massive sinner when I was 15, and I was involved in some bad stuff, and I was drunk when I died. And I will never forget entering into darkness. I couldn't see in front of my face. I could feel my hands. I could feel my face, but I couldn't see anything. There was no light. And I called out to Jesus. I said, what about God? What about Jesus Christ? And instantly, I was standing before a door. And I'm not going to get into all the details because it would take too long. But I guess the point for me saying this is right till the last split second, he can hear you. Wow. So no matter what you're going through, he's there. It's real. Heaven. There's no words. There's absolutely no words for the beauty and love and there's just no words. I wanted to say that.
Amen, Jerry. Wow, I didn't know that. Didn't know that. Anybody else on near death? Stephanie, are you in here? Want to say anything about it? Hey, folks, because whatever we say, we're all going through it, baby. We're all going to go through it. Come on in, Luann.
I've said this before. I had back in the day, about 86, I had cardiac arrest in a 6-week period, but I wasn't in my body. I remember the ambulance coming. I passed through that light. I passed through the stars, couldn't count them. I was going so fast. It was like I ascended the moment I died. I remember the ambulance people there trying to keep me there. The last thing I remember was going to the emergency room doors. Okay, and I was gone, just like that. I ascended so fast. I went through that tunnel, that white with the light on the other end. There is no stop or go. I can tell you that there is a place called heaven because I've seen it.
Doesn't mean you were gone there, though, Luann.
I was there. I was there. Because as soon as I got through that hole, at first I saw a bunch. You have to choose where you're going. Are you going to heaven or you going to hell? Mm. Cry out to God. If you're following God, you're going to heaven. If you're not, you ain't.
And I would suggest that you don't wait till the last minute to do that.
Exactly. But I saw heaven.
It's a funny story, and not a funny story. Michelle's father had what they call a near-death experience. Exact same scenario, had a heart attack. And he tells the story, well, he's passed now. He told the story of being above
yes.
the table, watching the doctors
yes.
look on him. He was up yep. there, he saw it. And then when they, whatever they did to bring it, jab his heart, whatever they did, he went back into his body. You know, friends, he was never the same when he came back. He was never the same.
No.
Everything about his life, his perspective on life changed. He wasn't grumpy anymore. Not that he was, but he, you know, you get to be older man, you get to get grumpy, you know, you get stuck in your ways. He enjoyed life. He loved to come and take the grandkids and just go enjoy every minute. And it certainly led to his salvation. Now, here's the thing. We don't all get a chance to do that, do we? What if we could get the opportunity to die and go and see it, say, and go back, and wow, that changed your faith, wouldn't it? Oh, I said, man, yeah. this thing is real.
I was trying to tell you what heaven looked like.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't tell us. It doesn't matter anyway, Luann, because we still don't believe it because we haven't done it. And we live in a world that if you ain't done it, you don't believe it. Come on in, Clay. Then Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I can just relay the story as I was told. My grandfather was getting a pacemaker surgery, and it was being installed. And my father said he was out in the waiting room, and he knew that something went wrong. And so he was trying to make his way back towards the operating room area. And they met him on the way and said, your father's died, but we're trying to get him back. And so they were able to get him back and got the pacemaker installed. And he was never the same after that. He told my father and my uncle that he went to a place that he thought was heaven and was about to put his arms around his mama and give his mama a big hug when they brought him back. And he was never happy again. He never wanted to watch any of the football or wrestling or anything. He I think he may have stopped reading his Bible. And he just never had another, he hardly ever had another smile on his face because he wanted to be with his mama in heaven after that.
Wow. If we have hope in this world only, we've all been most miserable. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I'll say this. We was talking the other day. Some of us are chatting, Tom Brandstow and different guys, about coming down to Sky High on the weekend. We're discussing, hey, we get down there Saturday morning, get down there Saturday night, because we got that boot camp same weekend. So we're trying to fit it in and rounding up some guys. And I just thought of this when you said this. Ricky Miller went through that with laying in that bed and not knowing for weeks what even happened. We're telling him the stories. He has no clue of things that went on with him. And so we're talking. And when Glenn and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name, come to our school board meetings the other night from the huddle, they come in and we're standing there at the school. We all get out of our vehicles. They look over and they said, wow, you're the miracle man. So Ricky and I were talking with Tom, and Rick says, well, he said, I probably should go down there that weekend. I said, Rick, we mean probably. I said, you show up at Sky High, these people are going to want to just hug you, say hi to you, and meet you. They've seen your face. I said, the miracle man's got to go to Sky High. You've got to go see everybody.
So let's go testify. Let's go testify, yeah. Right? It's not that everybody wants to see him. He's got to go testify to what happened to him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Larry.
Yeah, one of our bedrooms at home is a friend of the family that's stayed with us over the years for, you know, months or even a year or two at a time to try to get on her feet and stuff. She was in the hospital here back in August on her birthday. And a nurse peeked into her room, and she was laying there all blue and gray. And nurse came in, couldn't find any pulse or anything. And after a real struggle, they brought her back. And almost, you know, they cracked a rib or two and with the CPR and all. But she's now in our house again because she got evicted from the place she was staying while she was in the hospital. But this time, it's not like a mercy ministry thing. It's like a family thing, because she now tells everybody she knows. She says, I died on my birthday, but I was born again.
Wow. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, it is amazing the number of Christians that are around us that are not born again. They're not born again. I had a conversation yesterday about knocking me off a chair. And, you know, doing good, being good conservatives, fighting for Trump, fighting for all the right things, and having no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a sad, sad place to be, right? Because the Bible says in that day, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we work for the Republican Party? And didn't we hold Trump signs? And Didn't we get some of those appeal to heaven flags to stand on the corner? Didn't we do a lot of great things? He says, dude, sorry, you ain't allowed to come in. I don't even know who you are. That's a sobering, sobering thing, that it's not by works, but by faith, by the grace of God, that we get the chance to be able to do it. Stephanie, you heard that phone go off. Stephanie said she's got her hands up. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me okay? My phone's hung up 10 times trying to get in here.
Yes, ma'am.
Jeff, brother, your whole family, Lord, my heart goes out to you. I'm at a loss for words, just my love and heart out to you. People, heaven's real, and I agree with you, Coach. I was a young child, and at that point, I was naive, but I didn't know anything at all about how Satan worked. I didn't understand about generational curses. I didn't understand about I was learning in my environment, all of this stuff. I had no idea. I believe that he gave me that choice to see that. And then remember, I said my story, I came back, I hit the ground running, and I did everything on the dark side, you know? So I got a glimpse of it. I know it's real, you know? At that point, I was still a child, but it was like my training, you know, for all this. Heaven is just real, people. It's what gives me my passion. I just wish I could make everybody understand. It's the feeling. You get to see, and there's people and everything, but it's the feeling. It's the connection of the love. It's the love directly right there to God. There is no more meat suit issues. You understand it. And I just wish I could make everybody. It's that feeling right there that gives me the fire in my soul and the others that have been there to see it. It's what makes us kind of rough when people don't understand. Because once you feel that, you can't let that go. And I just, my passion too is that for that much of a good place, there's that much of a bad place. And I don't want to see anybody go there. Thank you, Coach.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Stephanie. Crazy, huh? She went to heaven and came back and lived for the devil for a while. Amazing. Ellen's Edge, come in then, Craig. Or Craig, then Ellen's Edge. Let's go, Craig.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then which we were are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I think that probably applies to everyone who has God in their heart.
Amen. I think it's interesting also to point out that it says meet him in the air. I don't know if it's really, is it really the air or is it the spiritual realm? That would be an interesting thought. Yeah.
We want
to meet him in a spiritual realm, right? I remember Chad Estes telling us one time, I don't know if Chad's in here this morning. You know, Chad was a state highway patrolman and he was at an accident and there was a man there who clearly wasn't going to make it. And Chad was administering, I don't know if he's administering CPR, I don't know what he's doing. If Chad was here, he could tell the story. But Chad said when the guy died, he felt that soul go right through him. Are you in here, Chad? Somebody go there, shake him awake, would you? That there's a real presence. Your soul, your spirit is real, man. It is so real. Craig, come on in.
Hey, Coach, the Bible's really... If you could synthesize it down to a very short sentence, it's about the relationship when Adam walked in the presence of God in the coolness of the garden. It's about the redemptive story from when we got out of the garden. And then it's the restoration of what that relationship originally was. I mean, this is our boot camp. And we look at death as the end. And we look at it as kind of the curse. God never cursed man. He gave him the consequence of death. And if we really stand back and look at it, it really was a blessing that he did that. Because if he did not take away that tree of life, we would be in eternity in opposition to God. Okay.
Yeah.
And God says, I don't want that. God didn't create man to send him to hell. That wouldn't make any sense, right? So God, from the day one, from when Adam sinned, he's always had a redemption plan. And it looks a little bit different in the Old Testament than it does in the New Testament. So what I say to people is I say, God does not send anybody to hell. You reject God's plan of being able to get back to him. It looks different in the Old Testament, but God always had his hand to get you back into that relationship that he had with Adam.
Amen, so, Craig.
And we are in, what we are in now is boot camp.
Amen. Death, where is their sting, right? Hell, where is thy victory? Grave, where is your victory? Go ahead, Craig.
And if like Stephanie was saying, and if you listen, I've never had any of those experiences, but I acknowledge them that I think they are telling truth to that. But when those people that who actually are in there, they ain't bugging back to get that back down. They want to stay there. They don't want to come back. But then the people that do come back know that God has given them a reason. So the best thing is God has a checklist. When he created me, he had a checklist of 10 things. My walk with the Lord is Lord, where am I at? Am I at number 8? Do I got 2 more to do? and maybe can I get 11 and extra credit? Okay. But do what God has done you, given you your task to do, and you're going to be okay in Christ.
Amen, Craig.
Amen. Tim, come on in. Stephanie, by the way, Stephanie said it was what was it, Stephanie? I'm sorry, Tim. October 8th, it'll be 38 years since she died, came back. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Hey, my man. So this is a pretty great subject that I really appreciate, because when I was 3, I drowned in my grandparents' pool. And
Wow.
This was before I had personally accepted Jesus. My soul left my body and I was in the air, and God allowed me to watch it all unfold from above as in this process that I've talked about thousands and thousands of times. But for me, having experienced my soul leaving my body and going up into heaven, God allowed me to see what was going on the ground for a reason. I actually accepted Jesus because of an artist doing a painting. So, there's all these things that happen around and experiences, but I do think that most of everybody here is prepared for what's going on right now. And, I'm looking forward to seeing you when you come to New Hampshire soon, my man.
Yeah, we're all going to be up there October the 15th, Tim. It'll be good. And listen, how many times do we have to understand that the Lord told us not to fear death? Fear, don't be afraid of death, right? Yet we do. Why? Because it's the unknown, right? It's the unknown that scares us. Wow. We all face it, don't we? Every day, every night when I lay my head on the pillow, I tell my wife, man, I've so enjoyed being married to you. If I don't wake up tomorrow, God, all the years I got to spend here laying beside you and holding you, God, you are so good. And to think that on the other side it's going to be better. Gonna be better. Wow. Bernie, come on in.
Okay. It's like being afraid of death, being afraid of retirement. another thing, look, I was a state witness once in an execution, and here's a guy sedated, totally done, and yet the guy is gripping the table. It was like he just saw hell. And I'm just like, I just watched somebody go into hell. I mean, it was a really crazy experience. There's no reason for him to be jumping and jostling around, but it was amazing. So.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm not trying to be morbid this morning. I'm trying to, again, if we have hope in this world only, we are all men most miserable. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't know whether it's a highway to heaven or I don't know if it's a stairway to heaven. I don't know what it is, but I know that something happens that when that heart stops, whatever, and that soul, that spirit leaves that body. Man, that's going to be something, isn't it? And again, think about being born the first time. If you were able to even have a conception of that, the first time, like little Declan, Maggie can go over. Maggie's actually feeding him, so he's probably going to be coming home pretty soon. But I thought, golly, I wonder if when little Declan popped out of there and he's in the hospital, they take him in, he went to an entirely different hospital than Maggie was in. Still's in a different hospital. Maggie's home, of course. I wonder if Declan, little Declan, laid there in that room and wondered where that voice was, that mommy's voice that he'd heard all that time of his life, been hearing that voice, and that voice wasn't anywhere to be heard. And what a joy it must have been in his heart when Maggie showed up in his room and picked him up and started talking to him, and he recognized the voice. Wow. Well, that's going to be for us too. What if when we cross over, we recognize that voice? Oh, I'm not alone. I recognize that voice. Joe, come on in, and Dale.
When you're describing the Declan and hearing his mother's voice, I remember when my oldest daughter was two and she heard Rocky Mountain High being played on the speaker. My wife had listened to that song many, many times, and she ran up and grabbed the speaker because she'd heard it in the womb.
Isn't that something? She recognized that.
It was so pure.
Because, folks, listen, we are naturally created to hear that voice, to hear his voice. Man, that's powerful. Dale, then Jerry, then Bernie.
Brother, these are incredible testimonies. I've had the two death experiences where I literally felt and knew from drug overdoses my body leave. But, man, when I got born again, brother, December 5th, 1989 at 9:05, brother, when the Spirit of the Lord entered me, I never recognized that old man again. John chapter 14, right? Jesus says, I am. Well, John 14, he says, if you believe in the Father, believe in me also. From my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not true, I would tell you. But I'm going. Listen to this. Christ went to prepare a place for us. And, brother, there is no other way to the Father but through Christ. There's many ways to Christ, sitting at a kitchen table, sitting here or over there, but only through Christ. And he is preparing, the wonderful master maker of the creation of the heavens and the earth. He says, I am preparing a place for you. Brother, this is where our eyes have not seen, nor has even entered the heart of our hearts, what God is preparing for us, those who love him, those who serve him, those who surrender to him.
Amen, Dale. And as you were talking, my mind wandered. I have the same Bible. I keep the same Bible. I underline it, do all that stuff. It's kind of a walk through life in my Bible. But I was prompted to open it. You guys, maybe you can't see this probably. Maybe you can. In the front of my Bible, it says, presented to Michelle Dobbenmeyer, that's my wife, by my sister Jane Gartner, and my mother, Pearl Dobbenmeyer, 1/28, her birthday, 1987. That was Michelle's come to Jesus moment.
Glory.
Is that unbelievable? And
here,
Michelle brought that Bible home, and I seized it. And for my entire Christian walk, I've been using this Bible that was a marker of her new birth. Is that unbelievable? Unbelievable, man.
Hey, Coach, if we can go back to the book of Revelations, when he talks to the church in Ephesus, he says, return unto your first love. Brother, when you open up that, my heart felt with joy because it brings us back to that first love, that first zeal, that first passion that we have with Christ. We need to all return to that, the cause, that zeal in us. Yeah. Then our works are no longer about us, but they're about him again.
Dale, I had a comment, you know, I told you I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. It just kind of blew me away. And, you know, he's very, very open. He's very open. It said, you know, he was raised Methodist as a young kid. He went to the Methodist church, and I don't give out too much information. He said, I've heard all about this being born again stuff. He said, I don't even know what that means. I can't even relate to it. You guys, when you're talking about being born again, he said, I don't even know what that means. And you know, do you have any idea how many people are sitting in the church that really don't understand that? Who really, really don't understand it? Our churches are filled with people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Now, they deny the power thereof because they don't think it's available. They've never seen it. Stephanie has a greater understanding of the spiritual realm than I ever will. She's been there. Jerry will have a better understanding of it than me. I ain't never been there. Grandpa Charlie, late in his life, had a greater understanding than I ever will because he's been there. And so many of us have, we've maybe made a commitment to Christ, but have we really? I don't know. Man, I'd like to them up. Jerry, then Betty, then Debbie.
Well, I could definitely confirm the feeling of heaven. There is no other, there's no words for it. So two things. There was that, and then we know the Father's voice because it's written upon our hearts. You can't get away from it. When you hear it, you know it. And the Lord wanted to teach me that. So when my wife was pregnant with my son, he had me learn how to sing Stand By Me. I'm telling you, Coach, I suck at singing, okay? But he had me learn it, and I used to sing it to her belly. So after he was born, when he'd get upset or crying and we couldn't calm him down, I'd sing that song, and he would just stare up at me and smile. Amen. We know our Father's voice.
Amen, brother. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they won't hear. Betty and then Debbie, Perkins girls. What's that? Oh, I moved my mic. I'm sorry. My Bible sits under my mic. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Come on in, Betty.
Good morning. Yeah, I want to say in 1987 when I was pregnant, I was driving for Lakefront Trailways. And I don't know, I started feeling really weird. And all once my spirit came out of my body and I was sitting behind me watching me drive this bus. Of course, I was freaking out because I had a load of kids on that. And I don't know how long I was there. God must have been with me because he kept the bus on the road. But when I finally came together, I remember the lady that was in charge of the kids looked at me and says, "Are you okay? You look like you've seen a ghost." You can't imagine. Like, I am fine, and you don't even imagine what I just went through. And I don't know why that happened, but I do believe in spirits. It freaked me out.
You did say
it's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing, but it made me believe more. But I had kids on that bus. It was crazy.
Amen. Debbie.
Well, Betty, that puts a new meaning to Jesus take the wheel. That's awesome. But I think what comes to my mind is the mask issue and all of this, because just like little Declan heard Maggie's voice, what if Maggie had on a mask? It distorts our voices to these young children.
Yes, ma'am.
And it distorts the voices to each other. So I was just saying, I just thought of that, because that's like the hand of the devil across your mouth.
Your face is the radiance of the Lord. There's no doubt about it, Debbie.
Yeah.
Radiance of the Lord.
That's it. And I just got a text from Chad, so he's in the meeting if you want to tell the story.
I thought Chad was retired. I'll check in. I'm sorry.
He's here.
Chad. So we were talking about, real quickly, you told me this story of when you were out doing your job, came upon an accident, guy was dead, and you were trying, not dead yet, but you were trying to give service to him, and you felt his spirit leave his body. Can you tell us that, Chad?
Yeah, it was a car crash there, and so we were doing CPR on him, and we were trying to get him out. We'd done it for like several minutes. Of course, it took forever for the cops to get there, you know, the other cops.
Yeah.
Ambulance and all that, you're waiting on that to come. And anyway, so finally the guy showed up and he took over. I was kind of tired. It's really draining doing that on you, especially first thing in the morning. Anyways, and so we're there, they're giving it a thing. And I don't know what it was, but something caused me to look up. I just felt that guy. I'm standing over the top of him looking down at him, and it just something caused me to look up. Now, I didn't see anything, but I felt him leave his body, that guy. When his spirit come up, I felt leave, and that's what caused me to look up. And I said, right at that time, they said, "We think he's dead." And I said, "No, he is." dead.
You could verify that the action. It would make sense, yeah, though, right? That energy leaving the body. We've all seen pictures of that, right? When people die and they show the ghost coming out of them, it must be real, man. Must be real. Sorry to wake you up, Chad. Go back to sleep. Paul, come on in.
All right. Hey, Coach. You know, listening to all this, there's a song. I don't know if it's by Andre Crouch. It talks about take me back, dear Lord, when I first received you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just hearing all the stories, it just takes me back to when I became born again. And in my experience, you know, I was a teenager and I struggled with a lot of things. And I remember I read an article, a small little article about Chuck Colson. You remember the Watergate guy that became a Christian? He talked about being born again. And I saw that terminology there and I thought, okay, you know. And then about 5 years later, at ORU, I remember sitting up in the blue seats in the Mabee Center, and Oral gave said, anybody wants to be born again? And it was as if something in my spirit clicked and said, that's it. That's what I need. I stood up and received Christ in my heart, and, you know, God just taking me right back to that place when I first received him. And I just want to encourage all of you to remember that moment you felt that passion come into you when you became born again. And I just want to say, thank you, Coach.
Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, right? Restore it unto me. Stephanie wants to climb back in here. Come on, Steph.
Hey, Coach, that's why Satan hates us so bad, is because, you know, he was there in the throne room. He was there.
Yeah, and he can't go there, can he?
That's why he hates us so bad. He's jealous of that, people. He lost that. He lost that. I wanted to add to, I'm sitting here trying not to cry. I'm sobbing listening to this. Jesus, thank you. The meat suit's heavy. Once these people, my friend said to me, you know, listened to having to hear me talk about all the time, when you've had a near-death experience and you come back down here, it's like when you're down here, it's like being on roller skates. And once you've been there, it's like you've been on a rocket to the moon sensation. So you can't, it's just such a difference being here to being there. Amen. To the pagans, to the witches out there, to the heathens, to the non-believers, to anyone that has known me over all these years of all my craziness and all my stories, you've heard me talk about my near-death experience over and over and over because it's real and it's affected me even when I was on the dark side. Let me tell you people this. I finally found it. They all knew. I tried to find that feeling again. I tried to kill myself when I was 13 so I could go back. I've been drugs and sex and trances, and I did mushrooms, and I was a practitioner, and I was in that doorway and through that veil and trying to find that feeling. Guess what? I found it, people. It's through Jesus Christ. I literally, in April in 2018, went to a meeting to hear about Nephilim mounds, and I was introduced again to this name, Jesus Christ, and I found that feeling that I had when I was crossed over in heaven. Coach, you helped me find that. Res Dizdar helped me find all. It was all pieces come together. Anyone out there, you have fear, you have heaviness, you have doubt. I promise you, you can find release through all of that through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. Now listen, folks. I'm going to get you in here. I promise, Craig, Dale. I'll get you guys in here a second. Listen, I want you to understand this. I came to Christ not through a family member. And many of you right now are dealing with lost family members. And you cry at night and you cry out to the Lord and you pray for him. And friends, here's what I suggest to you. Pray for your family member, but focus on others. Because there's somebody out there that the Holy Spirit will bring across the path of your son or your daughter or your husband, whoever will. And sadly, the truth is, in the relationships that we build here on earth, there are barriers that we put up on our own. And it's like I was saying the other day, somebody can come and tell my daughters something and they will believe it. And I tell them the same thing and they don't believe it. Whether it's a pride issue, whether it's a blocking issue, don't know what it is. So here's what I would say to you. Although you can continue to cry out to your Heavenly Father for salvation of your child, begin to pray for others and ask the Lord to send somebody across your son's path.
Amen.
That's where it happens, friends. You can pray till your tongue falls out. It's only the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is going to draw. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And you can bombard heaven all you want and just pray that the Lord will send someone across your path. Send somebody across my path. Send somebody across Michelle's path she'd never met, never heard of before. And so I just want to take pressure off of you. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Pray for him. Pray for others. Witness to us. What if you are the witness that somebody else is praying for their child? What if you're it? Right? So we have to let go. We got to let God do his thing. Come on in, Craig, and then Tony. Go ahead, Craig.
You know, Coach, I've mentioned this oftentimes. You know, the first mention of something is very, very important. And yes. Right off the get-go here, the first thing, two things that we learn about God is, one is he's a creator in Genesis 1. Yeah. And in Genesis 1, verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So really, the first description of God is the Spirit of God. And we have been taught wrong by the churches, right, our teachers, because we think we're a body that's wrapped in a spirit. We got it backwards.
Yes, sir.
We're a spirit that's wrapped in a body. So that little moment of conception when Declan, right,
yes,
he was already established in the spirit. And yes, his little body got formed around him over those 9 months, like your wife is knitting together a quilt. It's, yes, it's a mosaic that ends up being that. So if we think of it backwards, so when I see you in the flesh, but unless I know the understanding, I see you in the spirit that's wrapped in 5-7.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hey, so it's like this, Craig. It happens all the time. You know, we go to one of our huddles and somebody comes for the first time and they walk into the room and somebody starts talking and they'll come over and say, "You're Larry. I know that voice," right? So if we didn't have this video and we didn't have our earth suits, we would recognize each other by the sounds of our voice. Our spirit, our soul would, what's the word I'm looking for? Would
Amen, Coach.
Would communicate with one another. So we recognize each other physically because we see each other every day here. But it's far more important that we would recognize each other, soul, spirit of each other. Tony, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I came to a realization about the scriptures, and I've used it in my witnessing and also encouraging a Christian that would, you know, feel down, would be, you know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they formed a barrier between them and God. And then when Jesus died, he broke that barrier. But Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me unless the Father draws them." Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? It means that out of billions of people in this world, God wanted to fellowship you so bad that he drawed you to the sacrifice of his son. I don't know. To me, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it is pretty cool. And I also think that we, part of our problem is we have exalted ourselves too high. We think we're more valuable in the eyes of God than we really are. Now, we're valuable in the eyes of God. Don't get me wrong. But we don't even value human life here on earth if it's not our own family for the most part. And to think that Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that doesn't mean everybody makes it. He died for every sinner. But the fact that he died for every sinner doesn't mean everybody's gone on that stairway to heaven. Dale, do you want to get in or you just didn't get your hand down? That's okay. God bless. Just a few minutes. This is the life of Coach Dave. I was up early this morning preparing a wonderful show and didn't get to anything at all on that wonderful show. I want to encourage you that let me play this one thing. Let me read this one thing. Spencer, put it up there. It just says link on it. Maybe you can throw that up on the screen for us. I got this last night from this is kind of hard to bring this in at this point because we've been in another spot, right? In fact, maybe Betty Perkins, come on in.
Yep, this last time, I'll hurry up. I just want to tell you my experience with being born again was when I was 13, when I was in an abusive home, very abusive. And I was went to a revival. My foster mom always hit me, made sure I was miserable before I went. And then we were sitting there, and the guy saying, his Dr. DeWitt saying, please come up, whoever wants to be born again, who wants to be saved. And I'm sitting there doing this, and she told me, if you go up there, you'll be sorry. And she meant that. But anyway, when I woke up, I was up front, and I felt such a wonderful feeling going through my whole body, just like I was getting drained of every bad thing ever happened to me. And I thought, you know, I got 5 more years of this, and if she kills me tonight, I know where I'm going. It was amazing. So I went back to my chair, and she was staring straight ahead. She wouldn't even look at me. And I sat there, the best girl I ever could sit. Yeah. And you know what? That was my best day in my whole life. I don't know what the date was, but I knew I had 5 years of that abuse.
Amen. Bless you, Betty. Got it up on the screen, Jeff. I'll get to you here in a second. I just want to throw this out there because it's something that really caught my eye today. I got it from what I consider to be a pretty reliable source. It says, a friend of mine and her sister works at Moderna in the vaccination production center. She says they are all paid huge amounts of money to keep their mouth shut about what's in the vaccine and what it's meant to do to the vaccinated person. She was talking about millions of US dollars that they get having to sign confidentiality agreements and more legal agreements. So nobody will ever talk about it at all. In short, once you take the jab, and in a matter of minutes, a plastic-like synthetic microscopic structure is spreading throughout the body, and it invades the capillaries. It attaches itself to the most fragile, weakened internal organs that you've got. From there, it radiates the organ and the whole body 24/24 until it gets significantly damaged. As a result, some people with heart issues will get myocarditis or a heart attack. Others with benign ovarian issues will get ovarian cancer or lungs, kidney, prostate malign issues. She said to us that the introduction of this structure is deliberate. No design error, no accident, but it is done with the exact purpose of radiating you, similar to the plutonium, but slower and impossible to detect. This explains why Geiger EMF devices pick up high levels of radiation in vaxxed people compared to those that are not vaccinated. This also explains why being around vaxxed people or having intimate contact with them does influence you at EM field level, and you get sick. It's radiation poisoning, folks. You bleed, you have migraines, and other radiation-like symptoms, which we call shed. Dr. Sherry calls it transmission. It's pretty much the perfect bioweapon. The same applies to all other mRNA vaccines. And she said, please share. So where I was going to go today is I wanted to go, Spencer, pull up the video of the Georgia Guidestones real quickly. That was a video. I'm not going to take time to play it now because I don't have time. Jeff, I'm coming to you, I promise. You understand, friends, again, coming back to Genesis 6, I guess, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, exactly what we were talking about earlier today. Satan can't go back. Satan can't go back to heaven. He don't want you going back in there. That's for sure. And so those who have seized power, the kings of this earth, who are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed, they have a death wish. They want to kill the seed of the woman. That's what it's all about. The Georgia Guidestones says they want to reduce the population to what, 500 million or something like that? They want like 90% of the population to disappear. And so if we would open our eyes and understand that what we're seeing playing out before us is a diabolical plan of the evil one from the time of who knows how far back it goes. This is more than a vaccine. This is more than just Fauci. These are dark, demonic forces hell-bent on destroying everything good, including God's people. If Satan is able to take you out apart from Christ, man.
Amen, Coach.
Amen. Jeff, come on in. Let you close it out here.
Yeah, one more thing. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yes, sir.
Our 40-year-old son committed to Christ at age 17. You know I'm grieving. I also am rejoicing. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Jeff. What a testimony.
Amen.
Golly. God bless you. So much for making plans of a show. But I'm telling you, it's Bible says you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. And you love not your own life, even to the point of death. There are others I know who in this queue today have been encouraged by the testimony of those who've been to that realm where most of us have never yet been. Be encouraged. God said what? It's more joyous in the eyes of the Lord the day of your death than the day of your birth. Bless you. See you on, golly, tomorrow, Friday already. See you then.